It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions 18+. Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Temptation Island Wrap Up. Today, we are talking about Season 3, Episode 11, The Final Bonfire, Part 2. Finally, we have some resolution on this season. I am your host, Kirsten McInnes, joined as always by the marvelous Maggie Morgan. Maggie, how are you?
Hi, Kirsten. I'm doing amazing. I'm so excited about this episode. I feel like there's so much to talk about. This season really ended with a bang last night, and I can't wait to get into it.
Hell yeah. And we are joined. I'm so excited because there's one woman in podcasting who I've always aspired to be. I am the bodega version of her. Hayley Strong has binged this whole show to come on to talk about the finale with us. Hayley, how are you?
I did this out of love. I just need you to know, out of my love for Kirsten. She texted me last week and said, "Hey, do you want to watch the entire season of Temptation Island by tomorrow night, the podcast?" And I said, "Kirsten, no, I can't do that." And then she said, "Oh, good luck for us. It's a recap. Come on next week. Can you watch it in a week?" And I said, "Yes." And like I do everything else, I put it off for a while. So between Sunday and today, Wednesday, I watched every episode so far of the season of Temptation Island.
Yes.
I'm so impressed
for it, but I'm happier.
I feel like that is really encapsulates the Temptation Island experience.
And I even listened to about half the podcast from the season in that short time too.
Look
and
at you. I'm like, Hayley, I was honestly touched.
Well, Maggie, part of it is I just really love the sound of your voice, and that is an honest compliment. You just have a very nice sounding voice.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, not like me. Not like
you have the same voice. If I was complimenting you, it'd be a little high in my own B. But here's my hot take. Mm-hmm. This show's not that trashy.
Yeah, and so I think that's the thing that we've learned over the course of this season, is that I think previous seasons of the show have been very trashy, and then this one is kind of like the pure like not so much cheating kind of boring version of it.
Well, mm-hmm. And even like the cinematography is pretty beautiful. I'll say the name, mm-hmm. Temptation Island, tacky,
yeah,
and trashy, mm-hmm. But the show itself, I came of age in the era of trashy television, so
yeah,
this isn't even that bad. I watched every season of A Shot of Love and A Double Shot, yeah, of Love.
You're She's right.
Tequila,
okay.
Tequila, Ricky and Vicky.
See, all of them.
Pauly D and Vinny. I've watched all of those.
Okay, but Hayley, I watched those too. And my thing is, those shows just seem like sloppy to me. They don't seem trashy. They seem like sloppy and messy. This show is literally about people trying to, like, you're trying to get people to cheat on your partners, which is why I feel that the trash factor is so extreme.
I guess so, but like, I don't know. I was expecting so much more trash from it than I received.
Yeah.
You know what? I agree, though, because I was also, you know, envisioning a lot more trash than what we actually got. So I understand you on this. But I mean, I feel like it was a good time.
I had a great mm-hmm. time. I had an excellent time. I was flabbergasted often. Yep. I was horrified.
Mm-hmm.
I was confused.
Mm-hmm.
But I had a nice time.
Haley joined the ranks this week of people who live text me their thoughts on Temptation Island, which is something I love and appreciate. And it's always great because Haley and I feel like agree on things all the time. Because again, we're essentially the same. It's how it is.
But I didn't want to give you too many of my thoughts and feelings. I know before the episode, you guys said that this was like a pretty enjoyable episode where I was just kind of, you said Brian Scully said he watched at like 1.8 speed. That's probably the right speed to watch this specific episode, because I was just kind of like waiting the whole time just for like one singular answer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. The like whole discussion thing is not like the most electric television.
No, the most electric television was definitely Alexis and Nicole hooking up. I was very much expecting to see Kendall hook up with just Nicole behind Alexis.
Me too.
I was really hoping for it, honestly. Like, that sounds bad. But I think it would have been better for Alexis if she saw it with her own eyes happening to her. Because, I feel like you guys were a little hard on Alexis. And the comments she made on her Instagram, bad, 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 bad. Not great. But I could see her falling for Kendall's shtick and not being able to talk to Erica and not really being able to get any of her side of the story. And having somebody like that talk to you like you're the best person in the world, or like he picked you out of 20 hotties.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I can understand why Kendall, she fell for the shtick.
Kendall is the demon, like, in the situation. Mm-hmm. He is the bad guy. Like,
he's the worst person I've ever seen on reality.
The living worst. He's the living worst.
Well, also,
yes, this is reality TV, and the Kendall character is edited. So I am looking at it from that perspective.
Yeah, but I don't think they edited him.
Very, very scary to me.
Mm-hmm,
but it's like the main things that I found terrifying was when Erica was talking to Jesse, saying like, I'm really close with my family, but Kendall says like I can't hang out with them because I just
take
too much time working on myself. Up. That was genuinely terrifying.
It's abuse. That's literally abuse. Abuse.
I also just want to say, like, before we go any further, this particular podcast, we're only going to be talking about the final bonfire. And then later this week, my mom has agreed to come on, everybody. Mary is coming on. We're going to record about the reunion just to talk about that and get the final conclusion. So today we're exclusively talking about the finale episode. And I feel like in this episode, especially, like, I don't want to spoil anything for next time, but if we're going to talk about Alexis, Haley, like, I do feel like at the beginning, the picture that we got of Alexis, by the end of all of this, including the reunion, I do feel I have a greater understanding of Alexis, and I do feel very differently about her.
Yeah.
I also think I was just like a bit jarred by the ideas of these tempters, and I had to like get used to it. Like in these first episodes, like she was doing her job. She was doing what she was here for, you know?
I also feel like they were put into this environment, and I don't blame them for trying to make connections with these people, because to them, their girlfriends like aren't a real thing.
Yeah.
They don't exist. They don't know them. And obviously if they're coming into this situation, there's an issue. The crack is already there to kind of slide in. And also, you're bored. What are you gonna do? You might as well flirt with the hotties.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that you maybe zoomed through the content really fast, because I don't think we were ever like anti-tempter. We've been very Kendall is the villain of the season.
Yeah, no, I just felt like maybe a little hard on Alexis at the beginning.
Well, I think at the beginning she deserved a little bit more criticism,
that's the point of her being there.
And that's the point of us podcasting about the show. It's for getting criticize them.
I guess.
Like, I don't think we crossed a line.
No.
I don't know. Anyways, it's like, I want to talk about Kendall and Erica.
Yes.
Yeah, let's do it.
So at the start of the episode, It's literally like the perfect example of why Kendall is a piece of shit and how Erica is a queen, because she says, I love you so much, but I need to love myself, put myself first. Like, I'm leaving alone without you. And he is consistently through the whole scene. Are you sure? Oh, that's what you're going to do. Oh,
interesting.
Oh, you're sticking with that decision. Then he goes, I guess I'll see what Alexis is up to. And then continues to be like, oh, Erica, are you sure? What is wrong with this man?
Oh, no, he was like holding on. She was trying to be like, don't kiss me.
He was clearly stunned. He did not think that this is what was going to happen. And like, he was like, you don't want to ever try to make this work ever.
No, and Erica, I'm so proud of Erica. Oh, and I really of almost think she needed to be in an environment in which there was somebody else there. Like, say Chris Harrison was there, so he could be like, oh, Erica, go, like, you can do this. You can do this.
Totally.
I'm so proud of her.
Me so too. Her. And like, you know, she's like, I'm leaving alone. He's like, you don't want to ever make this work ever. And she's like, no, I'm leaving fucked. Alone. And yeah, I literally wrote down Kirsten the quote because it was so abhorrent. It was like, Kendall says, might as well try something new and see what's up. I guess I'll leave the island with Alexis and see what's up with her. What? Oh, my. And then poor Alexis, like Erica struts off and is like, you can just see like she's glowing. A weight has been lifted. She's so proud of herself. And me at home in my bed was like, oh, Erica, I am so proud of you. And she's like, I did surprise myself, but I didn't. Like, I was so worried of folding, but I feel like the weight has lifted off my shoulders and I'm busting out of my shackles. And I was like,
yes. But then, okay. And then this is where it turns again. Horror movie back on. Because as Alexis walks out, you can literally see Kendall's posture change. The look on his face changes. He's like putting on his human suit to be like, oh, I'm so excited to see where things will go. And then Marco Wahlberg is like, I'm really happy for you, but it's like very obvious that Markel Wahlberg is not happy for them.
Markel Wahlberg hates him.
Hates him so much.
The show hates him. Social media was like posting the, like when Erica was like, I'm leaving alone. They like posted that gif with like clapping emojis. Like the show hates Kendall. He's the worst. And she like literally Alexis comes out and she's like, what happened? And Kendall says like, it was as expected, you know, great conversation. I'm glad Erica's grown. We had an in-depth combo. We discussed a lot and we decided that we're not going to leave together.
Yeah, we decided this together.
But then
they're in the SUV together holding hands awkwardly. And Kendall's like, yeah, that was a curveball. This is a real curveball. You can't even pretend to show respect to Alexis in front of the cameras. Like, what is wrong with this guy? I cannot stand him. I hate him.
It was horrible. Him in the car holding her hand, being like, literally holding her hand. And she's like, this feels like a dream. And he's like, yeah, this is such a curveball. I'm like, sort of, my mind is all over the place. Yeah. So it's like what?
She did I'm not infuriated. Deserve that. Like,
no.
Absolutely. No, nobody deserves that. So rude. Absolutely infuriating. But you know what? I wish that they had shown that they had had Kendall say what he wanted to do first, because he would have been like, I want to leave together and grow up, blah, blah, blah. And then Eric would have been like, no.
Yeah. I also
jerk.
I feel like the show is often on the nose with their editing, or not editing, but the choices they're making while filming. When I feel like there's some obvious choices they should have been making. I think that you guys have pointed that out many times throughout the season on your podcast. One of those things is absolutely you get Erica you get Kendall to say his decision first and then Erica can shut it down. So obviously they know that Erica's going to be like, screw you, buddy. And it would have been more fun come up-ance for Kendall if he would have been dunked on.
Yeah, like I just wish they had turned the knife that last little bit there.
Yep. I agree,
because he's the worst.
I'm so proud of Erica though. Like it's funny how, and I'm not sure if it's just the contrast or Erica's genuinely fantastic. But it's funny how much I hate Kendall and how much I love Erica.
Yeah.
And Erica's one of the most stunning people I have ever seen in my entire life.
Gorgeous.
And it's so wild that she, and I get it. I understand that it's hard to leave a relationship like that, but it's so sad to me that she was so down on herself. And even if she doesn't end up with Jesse in the long run, like, it's nice that she just had somebody who's just like
nice
to her for three weeks.
I'm so happy for her.
I'm glad she didn't crack. And like, I was so stressed.
I was so worried that she was going to take him back. And so I'm so glad to see that she didn't. Maggie, did Mary send thoughts on this, or is she saving her thoughts for Sunday?
You know, she sort of sent like all of them sort of running simultaneously. I think we should wait. And you'll hear my mom what she thinks of all of this when she comes.
Perfect. On. I didn't want to, like, you know, lose that opportunity. So I'm
of course. Thank you for the Mary call out.
we stan Mary on this podcast. Okay. So then they do, like, basically each of the four, like, remaining people I have to go through kind of all got their little scenes, and then they did back to backs. But I think
what a yawn this part was.
Yeah, I think we'll just do one couple at a time. Like, let's do Chelsea Thomas and their bonfire, and then Chris and Julian, and then end it.
Love that.
So Chelsea, basically, it was like a bunch of really gross lovey dovey scenes with Blake. Then there was like the part where Blake got exposed for being super fake.
Can we talk about that for a second?
Yes, of course.
Sorry if this is like, if I'm turning this more into a season review.
The season's over. Mm-hmm. That's what we're here for.
There's such a disconnect in my dumb little brain where Chelsea went from calling Blake out for being fake to like, I was just trying to separate myself from Blake because I wanted to F him so badly. It's like, no, that's not how that works.
Yeah.
You don't call a guy fake and like listen to this 22-year-old frat boy about the sketchy dentist from St. Louis.
Yeah, again, we've said it. If we've said it once, we've said it 1,000 times. There's nothing I would want less than like Dr. Blake's fingers in my mouth. Like, absolutely not.
Wasn't sure where you were going with that sentence, and I definitely didn't think it was going to end with mouth. Did?
Whoa.
I hate you guys are totally right. Chelsea has a horrific taste in men.
And style.
And I don't know if I like Chelsea.
I mean, I think I'm at the point of not super loving her.
You're not alone in that. Also, my friend Laura, who was on last week, her boyfriend has major problems with Chelsea. Like, he watches Chelsea and is like, red flag city. Like, this girl, to be in a relationship with her would be no good. And so I like really, after like hearing him talk about it, I was like, that's actually super interesting. And like, I hadn't thought of it from that perspective. I think Chelsea,
because we're so distracted by what a skis Tom is. And
yes,
there, and Tom is a skis city.
They maybe deserve each other.
Yeah,
maybe. But here's my thing. If you know that Tom is flirty and you're jealous, that's just not somebody you should be in a relationship with. Nor do I think Tom should really have to. He should have to dial back his flirtiness if it's coming off as creepy to the people he's flirting with. Mm-hmm. But I don't think if that's just his personality, if he likes to chat with people, if he likes to talk to pretty women in public, if that's his hobby, but it's not like it creepy, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
He shouldn't have to change that aspect of his personality if it's not like actually hurting anyone. Like, I feel like Chelsea's being overly jealous about it, and that's fair with her background being cheated on, but I feel like there should be some sort of thing worked out between them, saying like, hey, nothing is ever gonna happen with any of these women. I just like when pretty girls laugh at my jokes, because I'm right there with them. I love when pretty people laugh at my jokes. It makes me feel nice.
But I do think that there is a difference between like being social and nice and like having pretty people laugh at your jokes and being outwardly disrespectful of your partner. Like, I think whenever I'm in a relationship and I am out in public talking to pretty people, I always think like, would I feel disrespected if my partner was behaving the way that I am? Mm-hmm. And then I adjust my behavior based on that.
And I totally agree with that.
Uh-huh.
But it's a conversation Ethan and I have had where it's like, he knows I can, like, we're both like, this sounds right, we're both charismatic people, like, people like talking to us, and so like I tend to be flirty sometimes too, and he to be flirty with other people. And we know that's like, that just happens sometimes.
Well,
and
you have the communication.
He's fine with that.
Yeah, exactly. You have the, the communication piece of knowing
maturity.
Where each other's boundaries are too. Like, I think both you and Ethan would very clearly know if something had crossed a line.
Yeah.
Both of you would be like, whoa, no, this is not what I'm looking for. And
but
it would
we
not
know
go
what
any
the line
further.
Is.
Exactly.
And, and if he ever came to me and he's like, listen, I'm not cool with this anymore, then we're done. Then that's great. Like, I totally get it. But I just feel like Chelsea and Tom should have had these conversations and these boundaries, and they obviously aren't meshing on those. So, like, what's the point of them being together? Is my very, very long-winded point. It's like, that doesn't look like love to her.
Mm-hmm.
So she shouldn't be in that, because obviously...
Well, like, there's just, like, a fundamental disconnect. Like, the other thing, too, is, like, the way Thomas talks about their relationship, specifically at the bonfire, makes me so uncomfortable. The way he comes in, like, I maintained my word to you, because to me, cheating starts at kissing. You broke the rules. You broke our contract. So now I can do whatever I want. Like, excuse me, Thomas. Like, that's not how relationships work.
He crossed the line first. I feel like kissing on the mouth is way less intimate than whatever he was doing with Sophia.
Mm-hmm. Completely.
Like,
agree.
I'm sorry.
He was
your name
getting
on
emotionally
somebody's...
intimate with this woman, and you cannot tell me.
Chelsea was doing that with Dr. Blake, though, too.
Sure,
like,
sure.
Both of them.
Mm-hmm. But their retaliation is so unhealthy, because, because Chelsea saw Thomas do this with Sophia, so then Chelsea went one step further, and then Thomas went one step further, and Chelsea saw that and was like, well, I'm going to kiss Dr. Blake on the mouth. And then Thomas was like, well, I'm going to kiss Sophia on the mouth. And then, you know, it just this weird retaliation, and, like, I wonder, you guys said confirmed coitus for Thomas and Sophia, right?
I'm pretty sure.
I thought so.
It seemed very obvious to me.
Yeah.
I thought so too. Do you think Chelsea would have been more upset if she knew about that?
But the other thing too is, at this bonfire, Chelsea's literally like openly weeping about how she didn't even want to come to Temptation Island in the first
not
place.
Not even... openly weeping, Kristen, like having a panic attack.
Sobbing.
She's like so upset. I don't even know if like the sex situation would mean less. Like the body language between her and Tom is so weird. He sat literally so far away from her. I thought he was going to fall onto the ground.
There wasn't even like a warm handshake when they arrived.
Well, because I think that it was a rule that they weren't allowed to like touch when they first get
there.
There's
like body language.
But yeah, there was nothing.
It was an awkward high.
It was so uncomfortable. He just has this weird, angry energy. And I'm like, listen, Tom, there's a reason why you're like 39 and still single or whatever. Like, because you don't know how relationships work. You don't know what you're doing. You don't have communication. Mm-hmm. It's so messed up just the way they talk.
Yeah.
And the interaction was horrible.
We're burying the lead. They leave together.
Yeah. And so
inexplicably.
So
yes.
Because the whole interaction is bad and negative.
Yes.
And then they both are like,
we love each other. Let's leave together.
Yeah. Like, we're in love, so we'll just leave together. And now I do think I like lightly brought up this as a possibility last week of like maybe
A fake couple. I don't believe they're a real couple.
I mean, that's also a possibility. But I think last week we were very surprised when it was the Aaron and Corey with Kendall and Erica. Because I think that they would have wanted, you know, one couple to stay together and like one to break up at least in one of the episodes. And so by splitting up the Erica and Kendall stuff, they got to have it in both episodes. But I think that if Chelsea and Thomas had broken up, they would have just been dealt with last episode and it would have been fully resolved. And we would have started this episode with Erica.
I feel like they ordered it this way because we pretty much knew Aaron and Corey were going to be together. We pretty much knew Kendall and Erica were going to break up, and we knew based on television I figured they would want to end this season with either an engagement or like a broken engagement.
100%.
And Thomas and Chelsea were really the only unknown. Like, they could have gone anyway, and I would have been like,
I thought there was not a shot in hell they would leave together. I was so convinced. I think Kristen brought this up last week, and I was like, no, that's stupid. Like, even in the middle of it, she's crying, having this breakdown. Yeah. And he, like, leans into her after berating her, basically. Then she's crying, having this breakdown. He leans into her, grabs her hand, tries to grab her hand. She pulls away. Mm-hmm. And I, like, the interaction was so weird. She's more confused than ever. They both have trust issues. But, like, then she's like, no, I didn't fall in love with somebody else, Thomas. Because he was like, I thought I saw you falling in love. And she's like, no, I didn't fall in love.
Well, and then the thing, too, is he's like, I was being playful and flirty and I wanted to fully explore that side of myself. And she goes, what? Fully explore a butt? And he goes, yeah, the same way you fully explored making out with another guy. And I'm like, and then how did you leave together?
But they're sort of flirting in it, weirdly. Like, at one point she was like, Thomas, well, by doing this with her butt cheeks. And she's like, sort of like flirt, like, and then she's like giggling a little bit.
I wonder,
is this flirting?
This just hit me.
I don't know.
I wonder if they're turned on by having their partners wanted by somebody else.
I don't know. That's definitely a possibility, but I feel like Chelsea has just been so overly, like, upset about Thomas, like, being
she
flirty.
Doesn't know what she wants.
Do you think they just like make up sex? Like, do you think that they just like fight and then just like really have a good time afterwards?
But like, I was thinking about this, Kirsten, right? As I'm watching these people leave together, I was like, Aaron and Corey had awesome sex. And I was like, but did Chelsea and Tom even have makeup sex that night?
I just feel like neither of these people would be particularly good at it.
I don't know.
Haley!
Not saying I'm great at it.
Oh my God.
Marco Wahlberg, though, when they said they wanted to leave together, like, Marco Wahlberg was shook. He was like, huh? Really?
Okay, I texted this to Kirsten. I love Marco Wahlberg.
So do they. They all love him.
I still think he has weird uncle energy, but I do like him more now than I did like 11 weeks ago.
I feel like he asks the necessary questions without ever being harsh. And I think he was a really great placeholder for asking the questions the audience, like as I was watching it, like the questions I wanted to know, he was very much asking those, like he putting out the right moments. I felt like he let things go when necessary and then kind of like picked them up in later weeks when he could tell like things were going better or going worse or whatever. I feel like he was very supportive of all of the women and he called the men out when they needed to be called out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. I enjoyed his energy after analyzing Chris Harrison for 7 straight years. Yeah. Like,
better than Chris Harrison.
It was a revelation.
Well, and here's the thing is I know that it's been discussed many times over the course of this podcast, like the famousness of the two Mark Wahlbergs, but like Mark L. Wahlberg is definitely the better Wahlberg as a person. He's never tried to murder anyone that we know about.
He didn't hate crime anyone.
Yeah. So, mm-hmm. You know, at least we've got that.
I can't believe they left together. I honestly got my mom. I think I was on like a 2-minute delay from watching it. And my mom live texted me. This is the one thing I will say. And she just said, is she crazy? What about Chelsea? And I was like, oh my gosh, Chelsea and them are leaving together. Like they're what? And yeah, you're right. Inexplicably. No clue how it happened, but
it's just so uncomfortable and weird. Like I do kind of think maybe they're just a fake couple.
I think they're a fake couple. There's no way these two people are together. Makes no sense. This makes no sense. They're both LA folks who want to be on TV.
They're both transatlantic or transcoastal actors.
And they just think that this is the best way. They haven't learned in 25 years of reality television that being on reality TV is not a surefire tunnel to stardom.
Especially on USA Network.
In fact, as an actor who probably would love to be on like, you know, something fun like Big Brother, like hard no, because you know, it just muddies those waters. Like there's just no, in fact, the incorrect way to try and kick off your acting career to go on any sort of reality show.
I personally, I've never wanted to go on a reality show until The Circle, and now I'm dying to go on The Circle.
Literally, at The Circle Netflix, cast Canadians, you cowards.
Please, here's an idea. Here's an idea for free. Cast me and Kirsten as one team.
I'm in.
Please.
I'm in.
That sounds like a nice time for both
of us. Oh my God, just being roomies for like 3 weeks?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm in. Oh my God, do each other's makeup.
Yeah.
It's fun. Oh my God. Come on, Netflix. Don't be afraid. Okay, so then this episode really just does not have the substance at all.
It doesn't.
So
there's a reason they immediately followed this with reunion.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
That I have not watched.
So Kristen and Julian have their little like voiceover parts, but it's basically just talking about like their full journey, and it ends with Kristen saying that she still loves Julian but doesn't know what she's gonna do, and Julian saying that he wants marriage but she may not want marriage, which is exactly mm-hmm. where they've been for some time. Mm-hmm. And then they have their bonfire, and I love them so much, and like I love Julian. We talked about this when they dumped women from the island the first time. Mm-hmm. But Julian is just so good at speaking. Like his mm-hmm. phrasing is just like, it's like poetry when he's
it was beautiful.
Speaking.
It really
I thought I was
going to
hate Julian, and I yeah, am very
me
much
too.
Liking
me
him.
Me too.
Kristen and Julian feel like a very real couple to me in a way that Chelsea and Thomas did not. I obviously very much do not condone cheating, but it very much seemed like this cheating happened
like 10
like
years,
5
ago.
Years ago, like, you know, five mm-hmm. or 6 years ago when he was like a teen. And I think he very much understands why that was wrong and that what he had to lose from it. Where like Kendall cheating on Erica, it feels like it had no effect. He's like, well, you did this. Where it felt like Julian was taking responsibility for the mistake.
Oh yeah.
And I cried when they got engaged.
I did not cry, but a tear came to my eye, which is basically weeping for me.
You could tell by the look in his eye how in love with Kristen he is.
Yes.
And you could tell from her too, like the emotion. So, okay, I have some highlights from their like discussion. And
can I just say one? Can I just say one thing? When she walked out and they saw each other and like they kissed, like right when she walked in, I was like, oh, this is going to be good. I was like, we're in for it. It was just so beautiful. But yes, Kirsten, go ahead with your highlights.
We got a lot here. So Julian's speech starts very much about how much the experience mm-hmm. humbled him, how he realizes what's important now. And he's centering everything about their relationship and also their lives together. How he started off thinking he just had to prove himself to her. Yeah. But he also knows now how to open up emotionally more. We get a moment where Kristen interrupts Julian during his mm-hmm. solo speaking time about how hard it is for her to think that he just is able to forget about her in moments. Mm-hmm. And he's like, no. Like my mistakes in the past were about me. They were not about you. It was my like poor self-worth, my insecurities.
And you know, Kirsten, the content that they're getting is so good that Markel Wahlberg isn't even a stickler for the rules. He just lets Kristen interrupt him. Yeah. I was like, I thought for sure Markel Wahlberg would
I was confused.
Solo speaking time.
I was like, why is Kristen talking? It's not her turn. Is that her turn? Did I miss 2 minutes? And then he goes back into it. And I was like, oh, okay. No, she's just interrupting. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, I'm better than the way I was when I came in. But I also need to know that you have changed too, because like we need to grow together and work together. And I was like,
crying.
He's so sweet, and he just has such a way with words.
He's amazing. I love them so much. It was beautiful. It really was.
Do you think Kristen was happy to get engaged? Like, I know we've spent a lot of this season. Kristen just wants to break up with him.
Mm-hmm.
I actually think, yeah. And while I do still think that this relationship maybe could have benefited by a little bit longer of like an actual break, just to like self-reflect or whatever. I do like think that they're a good relationship and they'll be together. I just, anytime like Chris, and then Kristen's whole solo speech was all just about like, she thanks him for taking it all seriously, talks about her concerns about giving love and effort. And then it all just like melts into talking about her brother who like died of an overdose a couple of years ago. And how she has associated love with pain because of how much she's been hurt and how she pushes people away. She thought she could just hide it and get through. Like she talks about how she felt if she didn't talk about it, she could ignore it and just get through life. And that was like a punch to the stomach. Cause I think everyone has had a time where you're like, okay, I just need to get through it. But just thinking about like how long Kristen has been feeling that way broke my heart.
Yeah. Oh, and it was like, so like she said, she's done avoiding it, that she's not afraid anymore. It was just really, and like, it was so passionate, the whole thing. That's like, I was like, is this like, I don't know. I don't really watch love reality shows. Like this is one of my first introductions to love reality shows. And I was like, because this couple has so much history, there's 11 years of like love and care between them. It felt so overwhelmingly passionate and intense. Like I was like, this is so real for both of them that like my heart was like beating out of my chest. I saw Reality Steve tweeted, like, I think that's the best proposal that he's ever seen on reality television. We haven't gotten to their proposal.
Yeah. They decide to leave together. They love each other and then they leave. And I was like, where's the proposal? But they walk out from the final bonfire. There are rose petals everywhere. Way more rose petals than Kendall got that one time because production likes Julian and Kristen. And Julian proposes. And I do have one quibble with it, is I think it's gross that he calls her baby girl.
Yes, I knew you were going to say that. I wrote that down too.
I think
it almost took me out of it.
Yeah, I think it's a personal preference. So I guess she's fine with it. And that's what matters. They're the ones that are together.
I've called exes baby, but never.
I'll say like babe.
Been called baby girl.
I'll say babe. I wouldn't even want to call someone baby.
If I want something, I'll be like, baby.
Well, yes, in that tone, it's different. But you'd never be like, baby boy.
Is that how you were proposed to by your husband? Did he go, baby?
No, here, what he did, and I'll show you.
Aww.
Is we were standing by a canal, and you know, he turns to me and he's saying something, and I didn't expect it at all. And he does this. He like reaches into the front of his pants. And
what?
Pulls out the ring because what had happened was it was a hot day and he was going to wear jeans because we were going on like a little boat ride and he was going to wear jeans. I was like, dude, it's like 30 degrees out. Like, you're going to wear jeans? He was like, and the shorts he was going to wear like didn't have like the pockets. You would have been able to see the box. So he
For the Americans, 30 degrees is like what, 90-ish?
Yeah.
Oh wow, yeah. Oh my gosh, that's beautiful. And you weren't surprised or you weren't expecting it at all?
I would, like, in the grand scheme of things, I was expecting like we were gonna get engaged at some point. But it was in August and we were planning a trip to Iceland for October, so I thought he was gonna do it then.
Look at that bait and switch, right? He like really.
And we were going to go on this boat ride, but it was like, and he was going to do it on there. And then he realized that there'd be like 100 other people on this boat and how horrifying it would be for both of us if he just proposed in front of 100 strangers.
I feel like I don't say it enough how much I love you and Ethan as like a couple.
Yeah, I lucked out.
Like, obviously, I love you more because I know you better.
Yeah.
But, like, I'm an Ethan stan.
One time after, what was it? The Know-It-Alls Toronto.
Yes.
He texted me about a week later being like, I saw your friend Kirsten at the Aero Car, which is, like, where he worked back in the day. Did, like, an attraction near Niagara Falls. I was like, Kirsten's back in Alberta.
He's in, like, Alberta.
He's like, no, she's here. Like, I saw her. Like, I saw Kirsten. I was like, no, you didn't. No, you didn't.
And he still thinks he saw me, right? Like, if you asked him about it, he'd be like, yeah, I saw Kirsten there.
But then he was on, then he went to like a conference a couple years ago, last year, 2 years ago now, where he ran into somebody. He was like, this person looks so familiar. I can't figure out why. He got to talking to him, and he was on Kirsten's season of Big Brother. So then he name dropped that I was friends with Kirsten.
Wait, who was the person?
What a great question. I can't remember now.
Name dropping me as like a Big Brother person is like honestly embarrassing for everyone involved.
It's a great time.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, so this proposal.
What season were you on?
Six, I guess. If we're going with on, I guess.
You were on my screen. I saw commercials. You were on it.
So back to the proposal.
Oh yeah, back to the show we were originally.
Oh yeah, back. Okay, so the proposal. I wrote down like pretty much everything that he said because I thought it was like just so beautiful. Mm-hmm.
The stuff about Kenny,
yeah,
her brother.
Maron. Okay, yeah. Maron's sweet. Maron is a nice man. Okay, so he goes, I realized a lot of things while I was here, but the most important is I don't want to go another day without you by my side. I never shared this with you before, but I want to tell you now. The last time I saw Kenny, her brother, I held his hand and made a promise to take care of his little sister for the rest of my life. I'll spend the rest of my life making you feel valued, appreciated, and loved like you have always deserved. Will you make me the luckiest man in the entire world and grant me the privilege of being a devoted husband to you? For the rest of our lives.
I have chills. It was so sweet.
And she says 1,000 times yes. And then they're together.
And then they kiss. It was so passionate. You know how I was saying like Aaron and Corey's kiss after they got together was like so passionless. This was like the most passionate thing I've ever seen on reality television. It like felt so raw and real. They like spent the whole time crying. I was just so happy for them.
A tear came to my eye.
I was full on
one. Well, yeah,
I'm a little sucker.
Both of you are like softer than me. Okay,
I'm like the vegan butter on my counter right now, just like mush. I'm not a vegan. I just buy vegan butter so I can cook for my grandmother because she's dairy free.
That's adorable. I like that you felt like you had to just clarify.
Well, I just don't want people like going to my Instagram
and seeing like, whoa, that's a lot of meat for a quote-unquote vegan.
For a vegan butter gal. It's also cheaper, so.
Is vegan butter good? I've never had it.
Yeah.
Like, no.
Yeah. Ethan said he loved it, actually. He put it on his toast this morning. He thought it was very nice. I just like baking with it. There's no difference.
I want to get a food opinion from you, Haley, because I want to get it on the pod, even though it has nothing to do with Temptation Island or anything else. Okay. It has come to my attention that a person in my life who will remain unnamed you'll see why soon, has the following breakfast practice every day. Okay. So this person has toast for breakfast every morning.
Yeah.
But they do not have time to make the toast in the morning. So they toast the bread the night before. Okay. And then they put the butter on it. But wait, they do not put butter on their toast. They put light mayonnaise because it is 10 calories less than margarine. So they make the toast, put light mayonnaise on it, and then stick it, I guess, in the fridge overnight. And then the following morning, they microwave it and eat it.
I'm disturbed. Number one, this my opinion was not asked, but I must give it. Number one, I'm disturbed about the mayonnaise. Mayonnaise, first thing in the morning, sounds like the worst thing that I've ever experienced in my life. Number two, I'm sorry. I also toast bread every morning. It takes at most a minute and 10 seconds. So however long that you're putting it in the microwave for, it was probably equivalent. Number three, well, why don't you wake up an extra minute early so you can toast it fresh? At that point, you're just eating warm bread. It's not toasty at all. And it's been sitting in my mayo all night.
I also feel like you shouldn't microwave mayo.
Who is this?
I'm protecting their identity, but I'll tell you after the pod.
Oh my goodness, they need to reevaluate some choices. I'm sorry.
I'm just like not totally comfortable with it. Cause yeah, I agree with Maggie that it's just, it doesn't totally make sense to me.
I'm just picturing like soggy mayo bread in the morning.
Also 10 calories less. Like, please just have
a stick of gum and you'll lose those calories. Like,
please. I don't know. I can't. Like, because it's been sitting all night and then you put it in the microwave. So any sort of toastiness is gone. Like it's soggy. It's mushy. Yeah,
it's not going to be
It's good. Like, you know, you hold it up.
What if you just eat bread with mayo on it in the morning? That seems like it makes more sense.
That at least I feel like makes more sense. I think mayo at any time for me is a no, but especially in the morning. I don't know.
I want to talk about how Amanda's name is Amanda Spain Butts.
Absolutely.
Let's talk.
If you hyphenate, okay. I'm sorry, Amanda. Not all of us can be blessed with great last names like myself.
Yeah, Strong is again in like the god tier of surnames.
If you are already hyphenating your name, and maybe it's out of respect to one of her parents, I do not pretend to know.
Like, she's not married, so it's obviously comes from both of her parents.
Wouldn't you just stick with Spain, especially if you're going on TV?
But that's not her name.
Like, I think you stick with Spain or you stick with Butts, but I think the combination of
you
Spain
don't stick
Butts
with
is hilarious.
Butts. If your last name is Butts, you legally change that the moment you turn 18.
I don't think Butts is the worst last name.
It's not a good one.
It's not Strong. But it's not worst.
There's a very famous Broadway actor named Norbert Leo Butts, B-U-T-Z. And
her name is spelled Butts, like a butt.
Yeah.
But multiple butts.
Yeah. I don't know. I
like several butts.
I'm sure her whole life she's gotten crap about it. Punny.
So that's why you just cut it out. You just go, I'm not doing this.
But like, she's probably gone through like a journey of like accepting her name for what it is, you know? I don't know. I love Amanda.
And all the power to her. Or maybe she's just like, that's a good advertisement for her OnlyFans.
Mm. Does she have an OnlyFans?
She has an OnlyFans. Yeah, I did. I did my research yesterday. What can I say?
Look at you.
I didn't go to the OnlyFans page. I'm worried if I click the link, I'll have to pay and I can't afford that.
I mean, I don't think they just automatically take money.
No, you just won't be able to
see
anything.
I don't know how OnlyFans works. Okay. I don't know how that works. I don't know how Discord works. I don't know how TikTok works. So I'm just not getting involved.
Not that.
I think that that's end of the episode. But Haley, do you have anything else like in general for the season as a whole that you want to talk about?
Yeah, I love watching this and I can't wait to go back and watch the first and second seasons that are available on the E app in Canada. I cannot wait.
You have an account on the E app?
We have cable, so we could just connect. You had to like log in with a cable provider. So I just got Ethan to do that for me. And I watched it like that. I had a great time.
I do think there
this.
Are fireworks going off in my neighborhood. Just
incredible.
If anybody listening to the pod is like, "What was that popping sound over and over?" It's fireworks. Anyways,
it's popcorn.
I don't hear that.
Oh, okay.
I heard like a single pop. I feel like. I do think we need to formally crown the scumbag king of the season.
Yeah,
I mean, there's no other considerations, right?
Man alive.
There's no worst man alive. I honorary mention to Dr. Blake for the COVID parties and stuff, and Yacht Week,
and reunion appearance, which we will be talking about in depth with my mother, which I can't wait to talk about. That 40-second clip.
The reunion. So this season of Temptation Island, overall, I think we all can agree it was like a little bit boring.
Yeah.
But this season had no business having the reunion that it had.
Explosive.
It was very dramatic and for no real reason. So I'm very excited that we will be breaking that down with the one, the only Mary Morgan is coming on the podcast, and now it's been announced, so she can't back out. Mary, I can hear it all. You already trying, but you have
She's
to kind of spend time.
Very
with me.
Worried that she doesn't have a microphone. She's like, "What if I don't have a microphone?" I was like, "Well, you'll record it. Fine. People will know.
We'll figure it out." It's you know what? People would take subpar audio to get the, you know, above average takes of Mary Morgan.
Like, are people still complaining about podcast audio?
Oh, people will complain about anything.
But
you,
I don't think
people are done complaining.
Yeah, I guess. I just, like I've said before on many a podcast, people don't listen to my podcast unless they're very committed to what it is that we do. Because we're very specialized, and it's not like Big Brother where a lot of people watch it and all disagree about the takes. It's like a podcast about pure bullshit, so no one actually cares that much.
I mean, I would like to say I care a lot.
You care a lot about me. You don't care about what I podcast about.
Well, I care about what you care about.
You do not care about The Bachelor, and I know that.
I care about you, and that's what matters.
Exactly.
Okay, let me live. And I have cared about The Bachelor at times.
Well,
I've just fallen off lately.
I mean, who amongst us has not?
It's really hard
just
being
say,
on the West Coast.
I was just going to say that people might complain about the audio, but we have gotten some really nice reviews. So please review us again before my mom comes on. I want to show her all the reviews that we were looking at beforehand that mentioned her. She's going to be so excited.
Yes. Shout out to Byleen, hashtag No Kings, Saggy Harbors, AJ Berg, 806 Lucky, who've all left us 5-star reviews on iTunes. If you want to be like them and give us the validation so that we can shout you out on the podcast, you do that at robhaswebsite.com/temptationisland. So easy.
And if you're not willing to give this podcast a 5-star review, do not waste your time reviewing it at all.
Oh yeah, we only actually accept 5-star reviews. Anything less than that and you will actually lose your entry to the podcast.
If you're coming to complain about the Temptation Island podcast 10 episodes in, do not just please just
my
do
mom
something
would
else.
Be so sad to see
plant
that
a tree
review, so don't do it to my mom.
Donate to a food bank, like literally do anything else than rate this Temptation Island podcast 1-star.
Again, we only accept 5 stars. There's
I'm not even putting that out into the ether.
I just need them to know that. Well, I will again, fight them in the comments.
And Haley is
it's Taurus season. I'm ready to fight.
That's so strange.
That's a lie. I'm not going to
Taurus
fight.
Season is when you're ready to fight. Because Aries season had me ready to go. Oh, this is something we were talking. Okay, this is, again, completely unrelated. I feel like anyone who's here at this point on the podcast is, like, here for fun. And they can just
if they're listening to the Temptation Island podcast 10 episodes in, they're only here for fun.
Yeah.
They're like Kendall going
so
on
imagine,
Temptation Island, only here for fun.
Imagine that they do, like if RAGP actually did Battle of the RAGP Network Stars. Okay. And imagine if there was like a hall brawl situation. I was discussing with people recently, like who would be good at hall brawl? And I think
like
I'd
a
be
physical
weirdly
hall
good
brawl
at it.
Or like an emotional hall brawl.
a physical hall brawl, but I would like to hear more about the concept actually of an emotional hall brawl. How would that work? And
you just hurl insults at each other.
Okay. Okay.
I would be bad at both. I would be flown into the abyss in a real hall brawl, and in an emotional hall brawl, I would immediately cry. So I'm going to take myself out of the running for that.
Okay. I think I'd be good at hall brawl.
I need to remind you that I am already one knee surgery in to life.
Well, yeah, again,
you said I would lose. Is that what you're trying to tell me?
I did say you would lose. Yeah. And I may have mentioned that I know you have a bad knee. Because I'm a demon.
I use that bad knee to get out of rec league volleyball for 2 years.
It's rec league. Why would you have to
join like a rec league, like beach volleyball team? And I was like,
Does he know you?
I mean, I was like, listen, if you want to do this, I support you, but that is not something I want to do. And his friends were very much like, well, why don't you join, Haley? I'm like, one, I have a bad knee. Two, you guys play on Monday, which is bachelor night. And that comes first.
Of course.
Three, I'm really bad at sports.
And also four, you don't want to do it.
Four, I don't want to do it.
Yeah. Huh.
I don't want to drive 25 minutes to like get dirt in my eyeballs for an hour and a half.
Yeah, and then what, you're going to have a bad eye too? Just because of beach volleyball?
I can't see like 5 feet in front of me. You want me to have a torn cornea too? Like, no, I don't have the time.
Come on. Okay.
And I'm very delicate. I bruise easily. I scar easily. Like, I would just be like torn to little shreddy shreds. And I just don't want to. Anyway, he gave it up because it wasn't competitive enough for him.
Oh my God. That's incredible. Okay. I feel like we probably should actually wrap this up.
Should we? I'm having a great time.
I mean, I'm also having
a heart out is not for 50 more minutes.
Yeah, no, I am also having a great time. But I feel like we can like end the podcast and the fun doesn't have to end.
Yeah, we can wrap it up and make sure everybody tunes in later this week for the reunion wrap up, where we can wrap up the whole season in a nice little bow.
Exactly. Haley, I'm just so glad you're here. Thank you for joining us.
What a thrill this was. I had a great time. Sorry I derailed it.
No. This episode needed derailing.
Yeah, I don't even know if we talked about the episode at all, did we?
We did. We literally went through every single thing that happened in the episode, and there just wasn't that much.
No, it wasn't.
But thankfully, we had you here to...
I'm excited to watch the reunion before I go to bed, that's for sure.
You're going to love it. I can't wait to hear your thoughts.
It's exciting.
Now, Haley, if people want to hear more from you, where can they find you?
If you want to subject yourself to torture, you can go back and listen to this last season of Bachelor Wrap Up. If you don't want to and actually want to listen to a podcast about a good show, I am on the weekly Top Chef Rehab Up here on the Rehab Ups Network. What else have I been doing? I don't know. I've been kicking around. Had a great time a couple weeks ago on the Hallmarkies podcast talking about a movie that I don't remember the name of, starring Cody Calafiore, who was not the worst actor in that movie. I will say that.
Yikes. Okay.
Also talked to Chappelle and Rob Sesternino and Shannon Gus a couple weeks ago about America's Next Top Model.
I
highly recommend that one. It was so good.
You don't need to have ever watched a single second of America's Next Top Model.
Well, I've watched
every single second.
So I'm excited. I just finished season 13
I'd never seen it. It was great. I love it. The short girl cycle. It was like one of the best cycles I've watched, except for the very racist photo shoot. That I do not recommend, but everything else was good.
Who won?
Nicole.
Oh, yes. That is a good season. She's very
good. Nicole number two.
She's a really good model.
Everyone was very good on that season. It was excellent. Anyway, what else am I up to? That's it. Whatever. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at hstrong_. If you like reading and or thinking about books, you can follow my my book account on Instagram at The Strong Library.
And Haley and I have very compatible taste in books, so I always love following that one. Did you already say strongtakes.ca?
I gave up the blog. I'm going to be honest with you.
What?
I gave
it
up. I'm bored.
Okay. You know what? Fair.
I mean, if you want to look at my own content, have at her, babes. But I haven't posted there in a while just because I get bored. Like, I get bored.
I understand. I get it. I completely understand.
It's a lot of commitment for, like, 20 people to read it. It's like, just call me if you want. Like, I'll give you my takes on everything.
I will be calling you then, because
all I've watched in the last 4 or 5 days is Temptation Island and America's Next Top Model. Oh, and The Circle.
Beautiful.
I was on The Circle podcast a couple weeks ago. That was fun. Have a great time.
Oh, yeah. Look at you.
Yeah.
Okay. Maggie, what else do you have going on right now?
Well, I'm podcasting about Big Brother Canada. We're getting down to the end here. We're at the final five. So, I'll be on next week, to talk about that. I'm currently moving, which is very, very stressful, but, hopefully by the next time you hear me, I'll be in my new place and not doing a ramshackle job on my, side table here that I've got going on. You can find me on Instagram at @MLMorgan_.
Amazing. And if people want to hear more from me, I was just on the BB Can recap on Monday night, celebrating an incredible HOH result. I will be on the Circle Roundtable this upcoming Saturday with Rob and Taryn and Jenny Autumn. And I'm not sure if anyone else. I saw Jenny Autumn's name and then I blacked
out through joy.
I'm jealous. I might just try and hack this Zoom link.
I'll send you the Zoom. I'll just send it to you.
I just popped in. Yeah, what would they even say? Can't.
Yeah, I got the link from Sam, you know?
Yeah,
like, what are they even going to do? Like, I got a private message from Sam. It was a link to the Zoom. As well as, of course, BoJack Horsepod is going strong with Lindsay Wilson. Our episode this week had Matt Gagan, Maddie Fresh 24 on it. It was so much fun. So I highly recommend that. And follow me everywhere at Kirsten Said What. I have too much going on, don't I?
That's great. What else do we have to do? Ontario's in the 50th lockdown so far, so it's not like I got anything going on.
Yeah,
invite me to your podcast.
Fair enough. Okay.
Ask me to watch 10 episodes of a shit show in 1 week, and I'll do it.
I'm going to talk to Mary about getting you on Spoiler Jail, because you're next on the list.
Thank God. I've been dying to be on
You're next on the list. We just haven't recorded. So I'll talk to Mary about that.
I've been dying to be on it.
Okay.
That's the one where I just watched one episode of Riverdale, right?
And then we spoil the rest for you.
Great. That's my dream podcast is me just not having to even watch a show.
Perfect.
Just talking about it.
Okay. Well, we'll get that sorted out
soon. Do you remember a couple years ago when I posted a tweet just saying, like, spoil your favorite show for me? And then people were really mad.
I don't remember that.
People are mad at me, to be fair.
What?
I'll send it to you. Wrap up this podcast.
Okay. Anyway, so we'll be back in just a couple of days to talk about the reunion with Maggie. We'll be back and her mom, Mary, will be here. So if you wanted to like tweet at us like questions you have, that would be cool.
We can ask my mom.
Let's do hashtag ask Mary.
Oh my gosh, I love it.
And we'll ask Mary those questions. So until next time, have a good rest of your week.
Bye.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business?
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.